Welcome, and thank you for streaming this sermon. At Heritage Baptist Church, we believe that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus can truly change lives. So it is our hope and prayer that this service stirs up your affection for Christ and helps you to draw closer to Him. For more information, please visit hbchaslett.org.
One another, don't we? And praying for one another is the most powerful weapon that we have. And so thank you for that song. I haven't heard that song in a long time, but really enjoyed that. Well, I am excited for the opportunity to preach, not excited about the reason that I get to preach. But like Brother Wiggins said, let's be in prayer for Pastor and that he would recover, and for Micah as well, and that they would come and that it would happen very quickly. But I am excited about getting the opportunity to preach tonight. So if you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of James, and if you would, stand in honor of God's Word, James chapter 1, James chapter 1, and we'll be reading verses 19 through 25, but we'll be dealing with verses, mainly verses 22 through 25. So James chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 19. Just want to say real quick, upon request from my brother, he asked me to go a little extra tonight, so y'all can talk to him. No, I'm just kidding. But looking forward to what the Lord has for us this evening. James chapter 1, begin reading in verse 19. The Bible says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren," so obviously we're talking to Christians here, "let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." That's how powerful, isn't the Bible that you're holding in your hand right now is so powerful that it can change lives, it can save souls. Pretty amazing to think about what we have the privilege of holding in our hands. Verse 22. "But," he wants to qualify this, "be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But," another contrast, "whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So we want to talk tonight about how to not be a forgetful hearer. How to not be a forgetful hearer. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for the day you've given to us. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being in your house tonight. There's no place I'd rather be than right here. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd bless as we look into your word. I pray that you would use me. I pray that you would speak through me. And Lord, I promise I will give you all the honor and glory for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. See if any of you relate to this specific scenario. You realize you're in the closet and you're standing there and you're thinking to yourself, why did I even come in here? Anybody? I don't know if anybody's went through that. Okay, we got one honest person in the building tonight. No. But no, we've all been there. In fact, it happened to me just tonight before I got ready to preach. I went upstairs to get something upstairs, and I went in my office and I said, why did I come down here? So I did what every good husband does. I go down and I said, honey, what did I go upstairs in the first place to do? And she told me exactly I was going to get a key to the van. Anyways, so it happened even tonight where you get somewhere and you're like, why did I even come in here? So what you do is you backtrack and for some reason, it always works out that if you walk back the way you came, you've heard this, you walk back the way you came, it helps remind you somehow of why you were at the other place in the first place. And so we forget what exactly we were supposed to do. And James, in this passage, he is wanting to help the people to which he is writing. He wants them to understand it's very important to not be a forgetful hearer. It's very important that we not just hear the word. He's wanting to emphasize the importance of doing the word of God. And he wants them to understand, we have to understand about James. James is writing, if you look in verse 1 real quick, he says to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. Now, no doubt when James is writing this, this would be after there had been persecution in Jerusalem. They had already been instructed by Jesus Christ to spread the gospel throughout the land in Judea and Jerusalem to other uttermost parts of the world. And if you know the history, there were, the church of Jerusalem was just booming. It was growing like crazy, but they were not spreading the gospel like God had told them to do. And through some persecution, these different tribes that were in Jerusalem, they began to spread about. But through that, the gospel began to be spread throughout all the world like God had told them to do in the first place. And so he's writing to them different things about how to have an authentic Christian life, how to have a life that is genuine, a real Christian life, that's not just something that you say, it's not just something that is a checklist or whatever it might be, but that you truly are an authentic Christian. And James wanted them to understand how they could have that life for themselves. And so we have great portions of Scripture. If we look at verses 2, that talks about count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And it begins to tell them, look, don't worry if you're rich or poor, but just let the person that's poor be thankful that he's rich, because in the end he goes to heaven. And the poor man in that he is, or the rich man that he's made poor, because he gets to understand what it's like, what Jesus wanted him to go through, so to speak, but that he would understand that his riches were not based on this life, but in the life that is to come. He talks about wisdom and understanding the importance of wisdom in our life, and if any man lack it, let him ask of God. And to understand that every good gift, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, of whom there is no variableness or turning. He is only good, and he only can give good gifts to his children. But there's a qualification in verse 18. If you look there, he says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. There should be a difference in the way a Christian looks, obviously, in the way a lost person looks. He said those that were Christians, those that first had gotten saved, they were a first fruit to show what type of a Christian they should look like to the rest of the world as an example to those that would come after, who would follow in his footsteps, or in these Christians' footsteps of following the Lord. And so he comes to them and he says, look, the way you act, number one, is that you should not, verse 19, let every man be swift to hear. It's so easy to be swift to say my opinion. Aren't the debates, whether it doesn't matter what side you're on, aren't they fun to listen to? And everyone arguing over each other and all this different stuff, whatever it might be, and everybody's wanting their opinion out there and what they have to say, and everybody's swift to tell you what they think about this situation or that situation. But he said, if you're a real Christian and a genuine Christian, one thing that you need to understand is that you should be swift to hear. Not quick to make a judgment, maybe not quick to just speak and say your opinion, and slow, and also be slow to wrath. For he said, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So he says in verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness. Everything in your Christian life, he's saying, look, everything in your Christian life that is filthy, that is dirty, that maybe that is keeping you from being the Christian that God wants you to be, he says, you need to lay that aside. Don't let that be a part of your life. Let all filthiness, anything that would be dirty, that would not be in line with God's word, you're going to have to lay that aside. And then superfluity of naughtiness, just a superabundance of that which you should not be involved in. Well, why should I do this? Well, in verse 21, he says, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So the reason that a person, and I'm going somewhere, I promise, but the reason a person should receive the engrafted word, the only way they're going to be able to do that is if they're getting the filthiness out of their life, the dirtiness that's hindering them from having the right relationship that God wants them to have. The old hymn writer that said, nothing between my soul and the Savior. Nothing that would keep me from having the relationship that God would want me to have with Him. Because that's the only way that you're going to truly be able to receive the Word of God, what He has for you and for I, is if I have gotten the things out of my life so that He can speak to my life. So that He can speak to me in the way that He desires to. So He says, receive the engrafted Word. But James, and I went through that part quickly, but James wanted them to understand the importance of receiving the word. And we talked about it, and that's why the Lord laid this one on my heart as I was looking through what the Lord had had me to preach. And I thought about last time when I preached out of Nehemiah, how they were very attentive to the Word of God, and they wanted to hear what God's Word said. And they didn't care about anything else. All they wanted to know was to receive what God's Word had said. But James, listen to me, James is going to take it further and let us understand it is not enough just to receive the Word of God. It is not enough just to hear what God's Word has to say. It cannot, listen to me, it cannot end right there, or it is of none effect in your life. James is telling them, look, yes, number one, you've got to get the dirt out, and you've got to get the filth out, and the things that you know don't please God, so that you might receive the Word that God has for you. But on top of that, one of the most important and vital things upon hearing God's Word is not taking it and putting it to the side, but rather after hearing it, now I must do something about it. It must do something and change my life. I must make the decision of what I will do with what I hear. Because he says, be a doer, but be ye, verse 22, doers of the word and not hearers only. In other words, if you do that, he says, you're deceiving your own selves. If you think just simply hearing God's word, if you think that that is enough, he says, you're deceiving yourself as far as what God is wanting to do in your life. Because it's not about hearing and hear and looking the part and hear. God wants it to have such an effect that we take it out, and on our job it's making a difference there, and amongst our friends it's making a difference there, and amongst our family it's making a difference there, that the Word of God would have such an effect in my life that I don't just hear it, but then I take it and I act upon that in my life. And I'm wondering how many of us think that we're doing so good. And I'm not just saying you, I'm saying how many times maybe I have had the exact same mentality, that simply I came and I listened, so God has to be pleased with me. And he might be so displeased because I'm not taking what I've heard and then putting it into practice in my life. What good does it matter in the game of sports, in any sport, to take in so much information and then not put into practice on the court? It's useless. It's pointless. And he's saying, look, you need to make sure that you are not just someone that hears God's word, but you are a doer of God's word, because you're deceiving. Listen, this is strong language, but this is from James. He's saying, look, you're deceiving yourself about how right you are and how pleasing you are in God's eyes if you simply think because I came and I sat and I left, God must be pleased. God help all of us not to have that mentality when anybody gets up and proclaims the word of God, that we have the opportunity to hear his word. But we shouldn't just be thankful that we get to hear it. It should change our life. God's word should change my life to make me more like him. And it made me more comfortable because this message may have a few more quotes, but I want you to listen to them as I read them. But honestly, if someone else said it better than me, I'd rather just say it the way they said it, but then apply it. And I hope that this has helped. Listen to this, what Warren Wiersbe said. Listen carefully. Many people have the mistaken idea that hearing a good sermon or Bible study is what makes them grow and get God's blessing. Listen to this. Too many Christians mark their Bibles, but their Bibles never mark them. Let that sink in for a second. If you were to look through my Bible from this morning, and I mark things, and we mark our Bible, man, that's a great thing. That's great. That's awesome. Man, great point from Pastor Brother Wiggins. I mean, too many to count this morning. You know, just so many good points this morning. And that the Bible never marks us. When was the last time we came and we got something from God's Word? And literally when I walked out those doors, my life was changed because I was so wanting it to be a part of my life that I wasn't just someone hearing God's word, but I was acting and I was doing God's word. I'll tell you, that's convicting. I don't know if it's convicting for you, but that's very convicting for me. Listen to this. Warren Wiersbe goes on to say this. If you think you are spiritual because you hear the word, then you are only kidding yourself. In fact, Jesus, you say, well, how does he find that? Well, Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and, is that the end? No. And doeth them, I will liken him unto a man that built his house upon a rock. And the winds came and the floods came, and the house stood because it was founded upon the rock. But he didn't say it was those that heard it. It was those that did it. But he also said, that person that hears my words and does not do my words, I will liken him that, yeah, he received knowledge, yeah, I need to build a house, but he built it upon the sand, the wrong foundation, and his house fell. Which one are we when we even hear God's word? Albert Barnes said this, listen to this. If a man supposes that by a mere punctual attendance, I was there at church on time, and I was attending to the preaching, or a respectful attention to it, he has done all that is required of him. He is laboring under a most gross self-deception. Albert Barnes said, you're deceiving your own self. Well, James said that. If you think the fact that we come in and we sit down and we listen to a message, if our life is not changed by the word of God that we hear, then it has been of none effect in our life. And we're deceiving our own selves thinking that we've done something great. You see, there must be action taken upon what we have heard. James says, look, you have to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. You see, God, not only through the book of James, isn't just some suggestion, it is a command that we are to do something about what we have heard. There should be a change on the inside that affects our seeing on the outside. Jonathan Phillips put it this way, Bible study, listen to this, Bible study is not an end in itself, it is a means to an end. The Bible calls for a response. How many of us get up and we think that we've done something special because we read a chapter or whatever it might be, and we've not really focused in, it was just because, man, I don't want God to be upset with me, which that is a wrong view of God, by the way, to think that God is just looking for some way to put his thumb on top of you because you messed up. No, my God loved me so much that he sent his only begotten son to die in my place, that I should have paid that penalty, but he cared for me, he loved me, that he said, look, if you'll just take me, I will forgive your sins, I will take your unrighteousness, I will give you my righteousness. That's the God I serve. That just desires and wants me to spend time with him, but he just doesn't want me to spend time with him. He wants to change my life. He wants me to hear God's word. He wants me to read God's word. And then through reading God's word, he wants to change me to be more like him. In fact, I think it says something like that in Ephesians, right? From the foundation of the world, he was wanting to conform us to his image. We were predestined to be conformed to his image. That is the very goal, that you are alive and on this earth, is that he saved you. And then through the process of time, yes, he wants you to be a witness, but most important, he's wanting you to conform you to his image. And I love that quote. Bible study is not an end in itself, it is a means to an end. The Bible calls for a response. Sometimes we cry and we pray and we say, God, would you fill our altars? Would you have people under conviction? We go off to youth camp and youth rallies and things like that. And I remember back in the day where I'd see youth just lining the platform and just praying and asking God and wanting to get things right. And I'm just being open and honest with you. I've seen over the years as I've youth pastored, that I've seen over and over that less and less young people come down to the altar and want to rededicate or get right with God and respond, hear the word of God and respond. But then I think to myself, what if it has something to do that if they maybe don't see parents and the people in their own life, that they're not responding and they're not sensitive, so to speak, to the word of God in that way, that they may not think it's important for themselves. I'm telling you, for all of us today, we need to understand that God's word is proclaimed, and when it is proclaimed, it is needful to have a response to God. See, because it's got to be more than just talk. I'm reminded of a story that Jesus told. He said, what think ye? He already knew, but he wanted to ask them, what think ye? A man had two sons. And the first son said, I'm not going. And then later on he went. And another son said, yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to do exactly what you said, Father. And he didn't go. Which one of these two pleased the Lord? Which one of these two pleased his father? Well, it was the one that you'd probably look down on because he looked like he had a rebellious spirit. But the truth is he had a repentant spirit and got right and wanted to do what God wanted him to do. The other one was all talk. Yes, I'm going to do it. But didn't act upon it. See, for us to grow in our relationship with God, for us to be who God wants us to be, we must make sure that we are not just a hearer, but a doer of the Word of God. Because he says, look, if you're doing that, you're simply deceiving your own self. And then he's going to give this illustration that we've all, I'm sure, know about. But look at verse 23. He said, for if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So he gives this illustration. There's a man that he comes and his hair's all out of place, which mine is getting harder and harder to get out of place, but that's okay, I guess. His hair's all out of place. He hasn't brushed his teeth. He's not dressed the way he should be. And he looks at himself and he's like, I don't look that good. I probably should do something about this. But then he leaves the mirror and he just walks away and goes about his business. He forgets about what he looked like. He forgets. He totally forgets and he's okay. Now people look at him and they're like, why is that dude still in PJs? You know, they come up, shake his hand. And it's like, oh my goodness. And I had a little joke, but I'm not going to say it. But that's besides the point. But anyways, they smell the breath and they're like, oh my goodness. But doesn't he know that his breath just absolutely stinks horribly? But he doesn't care. He can't tell. Now, he would probably be able to tell a little bit better with, you know, everyone wearing more masks and stuff, you know, shove it right back in their face, but that's beside the point. But honestly, you know, you couldn't really smell, you know, but he thinks that he's okay because he doesn't see it. Now, everybody else can see it, but he thinks he's okay. And that's a lot of times, unfortunately, a picture. Remember, this is a physical picture of something that's happened spiritually, that unfortunately, that's what happens a lot of times. And James is telling the people to whom he's writing, spiritually speaking, if I come and Brother Wiggins was preaching this morning and speaking the words of God, and the mirror, I'm looking into the spiritual mirror at what my life is like and how maybe I'm not trusting God and not relying on Him like I should, or whatever God convicts each and every one of us in our life about, and I can be like, man, I really, that attitude was right. That is not right, and I need to get it right. Man, that bitterness against that other person in our church, that envy or that gossip or whatever it might be, I really should get that right. That's not right, and we're convicted about it. We're faced with it. But then we can walk out these back doors, we shut the mirror, and we forget what we look like. And then we think we're just fine. But God wants us to not just be a hearer, but a doer. Not to deceive ourselves, but to be truthful with ourselves. And truthful with the God who already knows everything about us anyways. He beholds himself and he just goes his own way and he forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty... Law and liberty going together, yes. When you are under God's law, He truly gives true liberty, freedom from sin, and these different things that would have been weighting them down. We don't have time to go into all those details, but that would have been weighting them down and keeping them from being who God wanted them to be. And continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Many Christians make that mistake. Listen to what Albert Barnes said. He said, when looking in the mirror, we can see all the defects and blemishes of our person. If there is a scar, a deformity, a feature of ugliness, it is distinctly before the mind. But when we turn away, that is out of sight and out of mind. Warren Wiersbe said this, many sincere believers read a chapter of the Bible each day, but it is only a religious exercise and they fail to profit from it personally. Their conscience would bother them if they did. Listen to this, man, this is so good. Their conscience would bother them if they did not have their daily reading, when actually their conscience should bother them because they read the word carelessly. We'd be like, it's 11:55 at night, I better get out Psalm 117. Read those two verses. I'm good. I didn't miss my chapter for the day. We read those like 5 days in a row, right? No. But honestly, when we'd feel horrible about it, man, I can't miss that. When what he's saying, and I agree with it, we should be that we read God's word, and it was like, and we read it carelessly. Man, and I get to teach in our school, but that's one thing we've been talking about, is just the fact that we actually get to hold God's word. This is his love letter to us, to let us know everything we need to know about godliness and righteousness, his love for us, his care for us, all those things, the help that we need, the Bible says, in time of need. And how often do we just carelessly read the Bible and don't let it take the effect in our lives that he wants to? He went on to say this, a cursory reading of the Bible will never reveal our deepest needs. It is the difference between a candid photo and an X-ray. I like that. So those that look into the perfect law of liberty, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, when it says looketh into, it means to bend towards. You know, like sometimes you can't hear, and so you're like, I don't do this that much yet, but I'm sure. But you know, you're like, what'd you say? You want to hear what they have to say. You're bending over, you're wanting to listen. That's what he's saying. It's a heart attitude that is bent towards the Word of God, that I just want to know what God's Word says. See, Barnes said this, when we do not retain a distinct impression of ourselves after we have looked in a mirror, when we turn away, the image and the impression both vanish. When the unseen, it gives no uneasiness, and even if capable of correction, we take no pains to remove it. See, when we close this, that's why people don't want to open God's Word a lot of times, because it will reveal about yourself. It is going to show you who you really are. But the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Whom the Lord cares about, who those are that his children, he's going to correct them. And so our job is to not be a forgetful hearer, not to hear God's word preached and then forget about it when we walk through these doors. It literally should change our life. And the only way, you've heard this, it doesn't matter, you need to put it into practice. Maybe you heard that phrase, but an individual keeps from forgetting, being a forgetful hearer, by looking into God's word and then doing what it says. I wish I had something more deep for you tonight, but that's what I got. But a lot of times it's the simple things in our lives that we neglect and we don't allow to have the effect in our lives that they should. But I would be amazed at what a difference it would make at Heritage Baptist Church, our church, if we heard God's word, we received it into our lives, but we didn't stop there, and then we did what we heard. You won't have to worry about being a forgetful hearer. You will hear what Brother Wiggins talked about this morning, hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, not God having to condemn you or have to get on to you and judge you because you were a forgetful hearer. So you'll keep from being a forgetful hearer by putting into practice what you learn in God's word. Get in God's word, get the sin out, receive what he has for you, but don't stop there. Put into practice everything that you learn from God's word so that you're not the person that looks in the mirror and forgets all about it. Instead, you continue therein. You're not a forgetful hearer. And God says in verse 25, I don't think any of us don't want this in our life, this man, this individual, shall be blessed in his deed. May the Lord help us not be a forgetful hearer. Dear Heavenly Father, come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that we don't have to come up with our own word. Lord, I'm thankful that your word is sufficient. It does greater than I could ever do. And so, Lord, it It divides bone and marrow. It's a divide of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to spend time with you. Help us not to be just a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. And Lord, we'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You want to go ahead and stand at this time? We're going to sing hymn 160, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strange.
Altar's open tonight if you need to come.
In the
we'll sing another verse. Maybe this is your verse. You need to come
and pray.
Speak with the Lord.
Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we followed him there. O'er us sin no more have dominion, for more than conquerors we are.
Sing it out, think about what you're singing.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory.
We'll sing one more verse, one more verse.
His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Thank you. Maybe seated. We'll get some analysis. Real Moore, thank you for that. Challenging. Continue, therefore, in the things thou hast learned and been assured of. That was our theme last year, and so just continue in those things. Again, let me just remind you, be in prayer for Pastor and his family this week, if you would.
Just a few reminders, and Brother Renz, if you'll come on up while I'm giving some reminders, then we'll close in prayer in just a moment. I do want to let you know that a meal train is getting set up for the Crawford family. Miss Emery is leading that. And Miss Danya is going to send that out to our church family very soon, and just be looking for that. I want to remind you again about the Global Vision group that will be at the back table this evening. Once again, whether you've had a group that you've been praying for and contacting and all those things or not, we want to encourage all of our church family to be part of this and sign back up and get involved in it all over again. And I want to encourage you to do that. Of course, as you're leaving this evening, I want to encourage you to be faithful in your tithes and your offerings. As always, the offering boxes are at each entrance. And then, actually, as you're leaving as well, if you have any interest in it, we do have some of those pumpkins that were given away to the children left over. You're welcome to those. Please help yourselves. And, of course, want to encourage you, of course, to continue to pray for Pastor and his family and for our church family and for those at Norris as well that have been impacted by this. All right, let's stand together, and Brother Renz will come and lead us in our closing prayer.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another service today, your day. And Father, we pray that through the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we would not read your word carelessly, but instead, Father, that we would exemplify the life of your Son, Jesus Christ. And thank you for, Lord, the word that we heard tonight. We also pray that you for the improved health of our pastor and also for Micah. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of our church and staff, thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons and more information about our church, please visit hbchazlett.org.